So I'd like to look in the Word of God, the Bible, at the events that we remember at this time of year. And a lot of these have been referenced in the songs and in the thoughts that have been shared so far this morning. So we'll just look in God's Word at these things. We'll see what we can learn from them. And we'll see some things we can notice about the Lord Jesus in them as well. So we'll turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning. In the Bible, there are four Gospels written by four different people, so they give us different perspectives a little bit about some of these events that would have happened. So we'll start in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, which would be on page 1621 if you're using the Chapel Bible. And what we would normally remember today, today would be considered to be Palm Sunday is what we call it. And we're going to look at that event here in the scriptures, in the Word of God, and we'll see what we can gain from. So I'm going to read starting chapter 19, verse 29. And you can follow along or listen. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" So just a couple things. We'll stop there for now. A couple things to notice here about the Lord Jesus. We see in the first couple of verses his all-knowing power. He knew what was going to happen. There was going to be this colt. There was going to be somebody who would ask the disciples who were going to take it, what are you doing with it? And that's exactly what happened. The Lord Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. And we see also how the Lord Jesus, he had this authority. He was the one who was worthy to be praised. He was a man who came on this earth who was perfect in all things. Normally, a king or somebody who would demand authority would ride a war horse or a chariot or something big like that in those days, something grand. But the Lord Jesus, even though he was demanded this authority, he was a king. He had this humble nature about him. We see him sitting on a colt, not maybe a grand horse or something like that. He didn't have a saddle. There were clothes he was sitting on the donkey. There wasn't a red carpet on the road or anything like that. Nothing grand. But there were these clothes that were put. Those who were praising him would put their clothes down on the road, so that the donkey and the Lord Jesus can ride on them. The reason it's called Palm Sunday in the Gospel of John, a different portion, it says they use also palm branches to lay down below the Lord Jesus as he would ride. I'd like to read a couple more verses after this, though. This would be the setting and this would be the scene that we would remember on this day. But verses 39 and 40, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." There were those in that day who didn't appreciate the Lord Jesus for what he was. They didn't appreciate his rightful place that he was supposed to have. And these people were telling the disciples, those who were praising the Lord Jesus, to stop. Why are they doing that? But we see the Lord's response. If these were to keep silent, if nobody was going to praise, even the stones would cry out. There's some more verses that follow. But just to think about that, the power of the Lord Jesus, he could make something like a stone, something like a pebble maybe on the side of the road. He could make even that. He would have power over that to praise him. The Lord Jesus, he was the powerful one, and he was going to make all these things happen. There were more people who did not appreciate the Lord Jesus at this time. And as we would think at that time, a few days later, there would be these events the Lord Jesus would go through. And ultimately, he would be put on a cross, and he would be condemned to die on that cross. We'll look at that a little bit further. We're going to turn now to Matthew, a few pages earlier, to look at this. And while we're turning, the Lord Jesus, we're talking about, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing. The Lord Jesus, when he was riding on that donkey, that was something that was prophesied about 550 years before, that he would do that. And that's exactly what he did. Matthew chapter 27, we'll turn to next. Read a few verses and then pause. Matthew 27, verse 50, which is on page 1542. So this event would be what we call now Good Friday, which would be this coming Friday. It was mentioned, it was a Good Friday for us. The Lord Jesus, he died, but it wasn't a Good Friday that day. The Lord Jesus, we see here reading in verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So we see the Lord Jesus, he did die in verse 50. But it wasn't at the hands of anybody else. He gave up himself. And that was for each one of us. But I'd also like to look at, again, this power of the Lord Jesus. Even at his death, we see these things that happened. We see in verse 51 that there was an earthquake. There was shaking. We had looked at the stones in the previous verses. This is the rocks were split. That's actually the ground underneath. That's what the rocks referred to. That was something that was part of the created earth, that those rocks were split. And even in the Lord Jesus' death, he actually raised other people. When you hear about an earthquake around the world or on the news or something like that, you hear about the amount of people who died. At the Lord Jesus' death, there were people who came back to life. We see this power even after the Lord Jesus had died. We'll read in verse 57 next. We go down the page a little bit. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. So there was this man, Joseph. He would take the body of the Lord Jesus. It was on the cross. He died. This man, Joseph, was going to bury the Lord Jesus and give him a tomb. So again, we see this word rock here. Joseph, it would have been a very difficult process to go into that rock, that part of the earth that would be there. But he would dig out, and it took him, I'm sure, a long time, dig out a spot for the Lord Jesus to go. And then we have that word stone again. There would be a stone, a man-made shaped piece of rock that would cover the tomb and cover that opening. And that is where the Lord Jesus was put. We'll pick up again at verse 62. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead,' so the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So those who were opposed to Jesus, those same type of people who did not want Jesus to have the power or have the praise that he was worthy of. They wanted to make sure the Lord Jesus would stay in that grave, mostly so that they wouldn't be deceive others. They were thinking the people who loved the Lord Jesus, the disciples, would maybe move his body and convince everyone else that he had risen. The Lord Jesus said he was going to rise from the grave. And we see what they did. This stone that was around the grave, they made sure it was secure. They put a seal on it, possibly to keep the stone over the grave, but also possibly to prove that whatever seal was there wasn't moved the next day. If somebody was going to take it, that seal would still be there to prove that. And they had a guard. They were covering that door in that grave. But we'll read the next 8 verses, chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angels answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. So we see this picture here. The Lord Jesus, as he said, he rose from the dead. The stone was rolled away, that very large stone it would have taken in other places. It said it was very heavy. The people who were going to see the tomb were wondering how they would move this stone. But there was an angel who had rolled it away. But the stone that was covering the opening wasn't rolled away so that the Lord Jesus could leave. The stone was rolled away so that people could see inside that he was already risen. He wasn't there. The Lord Jesus had already come out of the grave, and the grave could not hold him. It was made of rock. This landform that you couldn't move. The Lord Jesus created that when he created the heavens and the earth. It was there. It couldn't hold him. The stone, that big stone that somebody had chiseled out of the rock and made it a shape. It couldn't hold him. The guard that was outside, they couldn't do anything. They were powerless against the Lord Jesus there. The guard didn't stop him from doing anything also. It's as if these stones cried out, as we mentioned before, and he came out, the Lord Jesus did. He rose from the dead, and it was indeed as he had said. There was an earthquake when the Lord Jesus died, as we read when he was on the cross, and there's an earthquake here to accompany his resurrection also. We see this power of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was born on this earth for one purpose, and that was for us. He came to this world so he could walk as a man and live a perfect life for us. That's not something we ourselves could ever do. He came to die in the place of each human for what we deserved. We deserve death for who we are and the sin that we have in our lives. He was perfect, and he was able to be on that cross, as we mentioned, and he was able to be that perfect one who could take away all of our sins and to die for us. But as we saw, the story didn't end there. He is all powerful, and he's able to rise again, and he lives today, as we sang in these songs earlier in this program. These are the events that we remember this time of year. Good Friday, Easter, Sunday would be the day he rose, today being Palm Sunday that preceded all of these. So these are days on a calendar that we might see. But these events and this order is what happened. And it's important to remember these things and see throughout that the Lord's power is here. Now, if you're here and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus, recognizing that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again, if you're here and you haven't put your trust in him I'd ask you to do that today. You can talk to anyone here to be able to explain further about this. But this is what God's word shows us. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. He loves you, and he died for you also. Verse 7, where we read chapter 28, verse 7, is for those of us who are saved. It says to go and tell others that he is risen from the dead. This Easter, this time of year, any week of the year, we can go and do that. And go and tell others that he is risen. He lives today, and his power today is the same as it was then. Nothing man-made, nothing of creation could hold him, no matter what man would try to do. He would be above all, and he is now above all. But not only his power, his love for you and me is the same today as it was then. And that is something that we can take comfort in and remember at this time of year.